The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. I got all kinds of stuff to talk about. I don't even think I can get through half of this stuff. BLM getting caught to be the fraudulent organization that they are. We got the media lying and calling Tucker Carlson racist and claiming that he's alluding to this great replacement theory, which is a big lie. James O'Keefe and Project Veritas out here exposing people like it's going out of style. Joe Biden gets rid of his disinformation government board, and we all know what that was all about. And Elon Musk said he was going to, or at least stated he was going to vote for the Republicans in his midterms. Where do I start, ladies and gentlemen? Where do I start? Let's start with my passion. My passion is to destroy the Black Lives Matter organization and show and prove to the world that they are the fraudulent organization that we always knew them to be. And this is not about politics. This is not about bootlicking Uncle Tom and all this little crazy stuff people call me because I'm calling out the truth. This is about you understanding what the truth is and being able to make valuable decisions moving forward on who you support. Some of y'all was running around with a Black Lives Matter shirt on, pumping your fists in the air, calling every white friend you know a racist. All in the name of what? Patrice Cullors should go to jail for this stuff, if you ask me. Let's go through the financials. The financials were released. The headline reads from the Daily Wire, BLM co-founder paid her baby daddy $970,000 for creative work, or creative services is what it's called, quote unquote. Paid her brother $840,000 for security. Now, you know for a fact they ain't doing no security and ain't nobody doing nothing creative at Black Lives Matter to get almost $1 million. But let's go through the finances in more depth. $42 million in assets is what they were able to raise. They spent $37 million of those dollars on multiple different things that'll make you sick to your stomach. I said it before, baby daddy got $970,000. Her brother got $840,000. The secretary, the BLM board secretary, got $2.1 million. Patrice Cullors had to reimburse Black Lives Matter because she spent $73,000 on a private jet. Now, there's no reason whatsoever for Patrice Cullors to need a private jet. Now, maybe if they're out here doing work and really flying around and doing stuff in the community, maybe I would consider that. But her excuse is worse than we thought. She said she had concerns of COVID-19 and security threats, so she couldn't fly on a regular plane with you peasants. She had to fly in a private jet, $73,000 worth of money that people donated to them that she used. $6 million cash that she paid on a mansion, 6-bedroom, 6-bath house in Studio City with a swimming pool and all kind of stuff on your money, on the backs of dead black men. She out here balling out of control, living her best life on the dead bodies and the sadness and turmoil that many of these families have to go through after their loved one was killed by the police, justified or not. $32 million they used in the stock market. This is not a personal enterprise. These people are supposed to be out here focusing on blessing, helping, assisting, and thriving for the black community, but they're not. How many funerals did Black Lives Matter partake in or help and assist for some of these young black families that have lost their loved ones? I would argue that it's probably minimal. None of the financial information that I see illustrate that they did anything. All of the black-on-black violence, what did they do to curb the black-on-black violence? Not a doggone thing. Where T-shirts that they print out for these young people losing their lives in gang violence? Not a single T-shirt. I know that they gave condolences and supported the man who I believe is a hero, rightfully so. They called him a hero. The gentleman in the Buffalo shooting that stood up to that crazy deranged racist, unfortunately, he was outpowered because the lunatic had an AR-15, and it didn't appear he had an AR-15. Lunatic had body armor, and it does not appear that he had body armor. But he put his life on the line to support people. I would consider him a hero. David Dorn was a hero. Black Lives Matter burning down entire cities, looting people's businesses. David Dorn, a retired police captain, I believe, was there protecting people's property, and they murdered him. And it was live streamed. And it makes me sick to my stomach that they wouldn't even call him a hero. Probably because he got killed by another black man and he wasn't killed by a white supremacist. But ladies and gentlemen, how do you not go to jail for misappropriating funds like this? Now, I'm not in the court of law. I'm not proving unequivocally that this is what they did, but this is very suspicious. You're giving your brother money, giving baby daddy money, flying around the country on private jets, and you're supposed to be doing the Lord's work helping the black community out. And if you are a person who's listening and you say, Brandon Tatum, how could you talk so poorly about Black Lives Matter? Will you show me what they have done? Give me some measurables. What have Black Lives Matter done for our community? What accomplishments do they have? How have they helped the black community move forward in a positive direction? I cannot give you one example. And I bet you nobody can give me an example that's meaningful. A little bit of cookouts and back-to-school drives here and there is a good thing. But when you got $60-something million or $42 million of assets between July of 2020 and June of 2021, you better show more than that. Buying mansions and living your best life. Patrice Cullors stepped down, the co-founder of BLM, because she was a fraud. I want to go to the next story, and I want you guys to have the number to call in before I get too deep into this. 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. You can call in and we can have a conversation at some point during the show. The media has absolutely lied on Tucker Carlson, and I wish and I hope that he could sue them for lying about his belief systems and how he's connected to this idea of great replacement theory. Now, I know a lot of you guys probably heard of this concept of the great replacement theory. And let me explain it to you just real quick so we are clear and we're on the same page. Being against illegal immigration has nothing to do with the great replacement theory. Being against illegal immigration has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with whether you hate people from another country. It has everything to do with you wanting security in our country. You do not want drugs and guns coming over here in our country. And you do not want illegal people coming here when all of these good people have been working hard and busting their rear end to have legal citizenship. You don't want people to just walk over here and get a handout. We haven't vetted some of these people. They're taking over resources. They come over here and they go to the hospital for free, and you gotta spend an arm and a leg just to get a tooth pulled. How is that fair? I don't think that should be possible. But just because you're against illegal immigration does not mean that you're in some form or fashion a racist. The Great Replacement Theory is a racist theory that has everything to do with white people. And have everything to do, when I say white people, have everything to do with a person who believes this theology, believing that white people are under attack in a unique way, and that white people need to preserve their whiteness and preserve the European ideas, not just the ideas, but the actual existence. The thought of the color of your skin determining your position in this country, meaning if you are, I would say, become irrelevant to a certain degree because there's immigrants or people of color taking over the population count in this country, somehow that is a threat to your whiteness. That has nothing to do with what conservatives believe. Nothing to do. Racism says you're worried about immigration. You're worried about it affecting your whiteness. The way conservatives operate is that we're worried about it affecting our country. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. You could come over here and be black, white, green, or orange, and if you are not assimilating into America and you're not contributing to America, if your focus primarily as a Democrat is to get people over here so you can create a new voting bloc, that is a problem. And so there's a very big difference between conservatism and replacement theory. It appears that the gentleman, I don't like to call him a gentleman because he's a nut job, but the guy who shot up that Buffalo, I would say convenience store, but grocery store, that guy believed in great replacement theory. Tucker Carlson and other conservatives don't believe in that. The bottom line to this all is that you need to be an American if you come over here. I don't think it's a positive thing by forcing people to come in this country that do not add value, forcing people into this country that do not want to assimilate, and using these people to get votes. It's a shame. You're listening to The Austin Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Hold the phone.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, yours truly in MyPillow are offering a buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Just go to the radio listener specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Tatum or call 800-976-8379. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select items. You will also receive Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 1-800-858-0263 or go to the radio listener specials page at MyPillow.com. Use promo code Taylor.
Brandon Tatum, the left ain't seen nothing yet.
Welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. Your host, Brandon Tatum. I want to continue the conversation. If you're just jumping in here, I want to continue the conversation about the great replacement theory and the lunatic that shot up the Buffalo grocery store. I want to make something very clear because I feel like the Democrats use this very cunning nature to twist words and to create narratives that are not true. They are calling the shooter a white supremacist. That's true. They are trying to make it seem like the shooter is a mainstream conservative, which is not true. In his manifesto, he alludes to the fact that he hates conservatism and that it's corporatism in disguise, and he wants no part of it. He described himself as a leftist and a populist. How in the world, given that he's a lunatic, I don't know why we believe anything he say in the first place, but how in the world does it make sense that he says he's not a conservative? He cites many places where he was indoctrinated and that he was radicalized, and not one of those places involved Fox News, involved Tucker Carlson, or any conservative pundit. Not one. Now, how in the world do the Democrats blame Republicans over it or conservatives over it when in his own manifesto he says he speaks of nothing involving conservatives? Says that he don't even like conservatism, calls himself a leftist. Isn't that ironic? He calls himself a leftist, and the leftists call him a conservative. You cannot make this stuff up. However, following the theme of projection, the Democrats are the biggest projectors ever known to man. I want you guys to understand this very clearly. When the Democrats say that a person is racist, you can rest assured that the person who's saying those words are actually, that person is actually a racist person. When they say that the conservatives are pushing the great replacement theory, you can rest assured that they are pushing the conspiracy theory or the great replacement theory themselves. Don't believe me. Listen to these Democrats out of their own mouth. Roll the clip.
It seems harder and harder to ignore that the echoes of replacement theory and other racially motivated views are increasingly coming out into the open.
In a few years, we're going to be a majority brown country. White people will not be the majority in the country anymore.
This will be the first generation ever in American history in which whites will be a minority of the generation at some point.
As of 2007, every year babies being born in this country, whites now are the minority.
In 2044, everyone is going to be a minority.
As the demographics change, as white people become the minority in the country, which is coming.
Demographics is destiny. Demographics is destiny.
Demographics is destiny, right? The country is changing.
I've been saying it here. Other people have been saying it here for years now, even before Donald Trump. The demographics is destiny.
The white population is declining for the first time in history in America, while the number of multiracial Americans have more than doubled.
So we live in a country where the demographics are changing. It's becoming less white.
Correct.
Okay.
You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics, because of the population growth.
The growth in Texas has been almost entirely driven by non-white population growth, mostly by Hispanic and Latino population growth.
The idea that whites will not be the majority, I mean, it's an exciting transformation of the country. It's an exciting evolution and progress of our country in many different ways.
The white population is declining. It was always on the upswing. So that speaks to the beautiful diversity of America. It speaks to how that population will, the demographics will weigh in politically.
Now, I believe anybody records a replacement.
Ladies and gentlemen, tell me, who's pushing replacement theory? Who's responsible for pushing? Who's pushing the idea? Who's speaking of this idea more often than not? It's the Democrats. And their ideology and the way that they function is that they want to replace America. It's not just about white, because there are white people, black people, Hispanic, Asian, you go down the list, Native people who are conservative, who love this country, who understand that we live in the greatest country on planet Earth, the greatest country to ever exist on this side of heaven. But they want to replace that. How do they replace it? By making the country more what? Brown. What do they mean by brown? More immigrants. People in Europe, by and large, are in Europe. They have their own ideologies. They have their own country. And they're doing their thing. But there's people that they can recruit from around the world that come from third world countries and come from places that are desolate that will die to be here. They take them. They bring them here. They manipulate them. They take their votes and they do nothing for them for generations to come. They want more and more people that they can brainwash, that they can cause to do the things that they want them to do, whether it's voting or whatever else. Now, I want to make this very clear, because people don't want to keep it real, but I'm going to keep it real for you. And this may hurt some people's feelings. But Democrats, by and large, create monsters to a certain degree, like this individual in Buffalo. Now, he pulled a trigger. He's 100% responsible for his actions. But I think Democrats really cause people to be very upset and angry at their attempt to do things in a more prominent racial manner. They're not believing in America. They don't want nothing to do with America. They want us to be divided. They want us to hate each other. And the way that they're pushing immigration is going to do that. And when they continue to talk about these subject matters, they push people into this cult where they hyper-focus on race. And the cult meaning these deranged people like the gentleman in Buffalo. They push people into a cult and they begin to isolate themselves and look at our world based on racial issues and not other issues. If you eliminate it, just say, I'm not going to say eliminating. If you look at our country, our constitutional republic, how great we are and how great we have been for a while, if you cut down the demographics of voting, you say white men who are straight and conservative, that demographic of vote is the only thing that's keeping this country where it's at. If you cut down the demographic of vote, it's the only reason. If you isolate other groups, you will see that we will go far left if you just isolate women, isolate white women, black women. They all vote disproportionately left. You isolate black men, black women, by and large, disproportionately voting left. Now, people like myself, I don't care nothing about race. It's about ideology. America is a concept. It's an idea. It's not a race. Democrats see it as a race. They break up these different groups, and they say, how do we win? We attack the white man who's a straight conservative. We attack him. We attack him. We replace him with these other groups, and therefore we have the leverage in voting. And that's what they want to do to destroy our country. We have to get our country back on the right track. You're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Hold the phone.
Brandon Tatum, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. You heard him right. This is the Officer Tatum Show. We got to talk about a few more things. Middle schooler, misgendering another classmate, and gets in trouble. Can somebody explain to me how in the world could you get in trouble for misgendering somebody? And it's not misgendering a person, meaning that it is a biological girl and you call her a man, or it's a biological boy and you call him a girl. This is the matter of misgendering another student, a classmate, because they want to now identify as non-binary. And now you have to defy the English language and you know, basic, you know, reasonableness to now call that person a they. A singular person has to be called they. And I found it to be interesting that these individuals who push that you have to identify or have to abide by their identity, no matter how loony it is, they invoke the First Amendment. I have a right to say this, and I have a right to do this, but I guess other people don't have rights. If you are going to say, I want to identify as a frog, you can say you identify as a frog, that's fine, but everybody else don't have to call you a frog. It is in no way, form, or fashion that person is wrong for saying, look, bro, you're not a frog. You're a person. Based on evidence, research, science, and everything else you can think about, you ain't a frog. You may want to identify as a frog, but you ain't a frog. Let me be more practical. If you're a man and you want to identify as a non-binary, it is not reasonable, in my opinion, that other people have to observe what you are doing, because what you are doing is defying science. It's also defying the English language. You are a singular person. They does not describe a singular person. It's a multitude of people or many people. It is no way in the world a singular person. And I don't understand why we're living in a society where that's acceptable. And I am against hating on people like that. If you want to be recognized as non-binary, I don't think you should bully them. I don't think you should hate on them. I don't think you should treat them improperly. I don't think you should be mean to them. All of the above. Any rational person should know that. You don't bully people. You accept or you understand that people may be different. You allow them to be different in their own way. But at the same time, you don't have to acquiesce to what they're doing. If I see a person and I notice that they are a man, then I'm going to call them a man. I'm a little more liberal on this particular topic, probably more so than other people. I may be willing to just call you by your name. If I'm confused, I don't know if you're a man or a woman. I don't know if you want to be non-binary or not. I'll just call you your name. I ain't calling you they. It just ain't going to happen. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I'm going to take Walter from Nevada. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you, Officer Tatum. I followed you on YouTube, and I just heard you mention Captain David Dorn from last year, and I just thanks for the producer for letting me in. I just happened to walk in the house. I normally walk in. I walk through the living room and walk to the rear of the house, but the riots had started, and I, for some reason or another, last year I walked in, I dropped my keys and stuff, I got my phone out, and I went right in the kitchen and sat down at the table, and I just started up my phone, and I saw this thing going on, this video, and it was playing, and like the YouTube version that you can hear now, there's that black guy, I believe, saying, "Stay with me, OG, stay with me, OG," and I could hear him talking. And I didn't know what was going on. And I saw the blood running from this man laying on the ground. I saw it, that the live stream version of it. And I was still sitting at the table watching it, trying to consume what was going on. I still didn't recognize what was happening. I know somebody was hurt or injured or was dying. And my wife was saying, "What are you doing? Why are you sitting there? What are you doing?" She was trying to get my attention. I was totally blank to her calling me. So I got up. The video stopped. I went to bed. And the next morning, and I got up, and I realized then something happened that night. And I went searching around again, and the day after, I found out that Captain Dorn was murdered, and I was watching it live. And I'm just going to say, you got a great position. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for us. I graduated from the same year Larry graduated in L.A. I went to a rival high school, Lock High, and I'm a conservative now. My values have changed. My father was a political science professor at Cal State LA, and wow. I'm quite sure he would back me now. So I'm just saying, the seat you're in now may be pretty big, but daily it's going to get a little smaller. And I hope you do. Took my blessings. Hope you do well. I appreciate you.
Walter, thank you so much for the kind words. I remember watching that same video, and it was traumatizing. You know, I thought that George Floyd was bad. You know, I saw the whole video of George Floyd, and I thought it was horrible to watch him lose his life under the knee of a police officer that I thought acted inappropriately. Was it about race? I doubt it. It's no evidence that it was about race. Was it preventable? Yeah, I think it was preventable by both parties. I think Derek Chauvin shouldn't have had his knee on the man that long, and I think that George Floyd should have never been trying to buy stuff with fake money and resisting arrest. You can pass the blame around to just about everybody in the scenario. However, as a police officer, you kneel on somebody's neck and you kill them, you're going to jail. But David Dorn's situation was just as bad. They live streamed him essentially take his last breath as he was murdered by another black man trying to protect property. And I feel like it's sad that he doesn't get the respect that he deserves. He honorably served as a police officer, made it to the rank of captain, honorably served his community. And if you a thug and you've been thugging all weekend and you get killed by a police officer, you get a gold casket. They parade you around. You on television. Your family get paid $100 million. If you honorably serve your community and a thug happened to run across you and you are trying to do the right thing and defend property and defend yourself and they kill you, you don't get nothing. That's why I think people don't take these movements that black people do very seriously. I know I don't. Because it seems to always be geared towards politics, political correctness, and emotionalism, and not geared towards the truth. Sakaria Turner was murdered in Georgia. My followers on social media, we raised almost $300,000 for that young lady. She wasn't a young lady. She was a baby. She was a little kid. Got murdered in crossfire of two thugs, idiots, black men. Didn't have nothing better to do than shoot it out. And they killed her. I looked at BLM's page. Didn't see her face anywhere. I didn't see a T-shirt. I didn't see nothing. It did not exist. They did nothing for her. Every time a black person dies that I see, whether it be gang violence or anything similar to that, I go on and look at BLM's YouTube channel. I go look at BLM's Instagram page. And I look for that person and see if they've profiled that individual, and 99.999% of the time, I would argue probably 100% of the time, I just want to give myself a margin of error, I've never seen them cover anybody else that was outside of the realm of getting killed by a police officer. It is shameful what they're doing. I'm going to bring in another guest, Karen from Santa Clara, California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi there, Officer Tatum.
Hello.
Yeah, hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
I just wanted to say, I'm a conservative from Silicon Valley, and when I first heard you, I go, oh, this guy's great. So I think you're fabulous. And I go, oh, I wonder how he's getting along with the Brandon name, with the Let's Go Brandon thing. And I go, with all due respect, let's go you, Brandon, not the other Brandon. I think you're great. And I'm so glad you're on the channel. I listen to you every day now. So let's go in the best, most respectful way to you, Officer Brandon.
Karen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the call, Karen. That is great. You know, it's funny. People, when Let's Go Brandon came out, I mean, that's my entire feed was Let's Go Brandon, Let's Go Brandon, Let's Go Brandon. And I thought it was amazing. Do I have time for it? All right. So y'all listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm going to get some more callers in. We got more to talk about. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Catch me after the break.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is. Brandon Tatum, the left ain't seen nothing yet.
Welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show, bringing back some old memories with them good songs. I hope y'all know what song this is, and I hope you listen to it. I ain't gonna even say that. I'm a Christian. I was gonna say something else, but welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I know in your gut, deep down in your heart, you know something was crazy. And it went wrong, terribly wrong in the 2020 election. And I know that all of you guys, including myself, was wondering, you know, where could we find unequivocal proof? And the proof is here, and you've been waiting on it. Dinesh D'Souza's explosive new documentary, 2000 Mules, I went and seen it, and it blew my socks off. I could not believe what I saw. Honest to God truth. It made me angry. It made me sad. It made me hopeful. And then it made me doubtful almost at the same time. It gave me all the myriad of emotions. Shout out to the integrity group, True to Vote. They did an incredible amount of research. They used cell phone geo-tracking data and video evidence. And I believe that they uncovered one of the biggest, most massive networks of illegal ballot trafficking that we've ever seen. It's funny how all of it happened within the five key swing states. Enough fraud to potentially turn over the election. But now you have an opportunity to take your mama, your daddy, your cousin, all the naysayers, to go and look at the movie. Get it on demand. All you have to do is go to 2000mules.com, 2000mules.com. Just so you know, it's executively produced by Salem Media Group. They do wonderful work. Them and Dinesh D'Souza, they created something truly special. And I have to let you guys know that portions of the Austin Tatum Show are brought to you by, in part, by 2000 Mules, executively produced by Salem Media Group again. But you got to go see it, man. It's off the chain. You will never be the same once you see 2,000 Mules. Back with my guest, Craig Long. I told y'all before, man, this guy's incredible. I'm sure you know it at this point after listening to him. He's an entrepreneur. He owns his own gym, self-made man who you know, I could let him tell his own story, but, I mean, he did some time. And
I did.
You don't see him going around complaining and acting like the white man is holding them down. Craig, I want you to talk to us a little bit about it. Without, you know, you don't have to give all your business out there.
Yeah, sure.
But I want you to talk to the people about your experience as a black man in America and why you're not a victim.
Yeah, no. First and foremost, I want everybody to know there is a lot of people that are just like me, just like Brandon, that do not buy into this narrative. We don't view the world through that lens that a lot of the people, the collective, of what I would refer to them as. We don't think and move and sound or talk or adopt any of the rhetoric that they push. We are our own individuals and we have our own values. You know, I'm someone that was raised in conservative values. I was raised in the church, and I steered away from it, and I gravitated to living in the streets. You know, when my mother and father split, I gravitated to the streets, and I got caught up out there in that destructive culture that I'm constantly talking about, to where eventually my decisions led me into doing prison time. I'm someone that been in trouble since the age of 15 and didn't come home until I was 25. I went from juvenile detention center to jail, straight to prison. I came home with absolutely nothing but $25 to my name, and I had to start all over. And I did. I pulled myself up by the bootstraps, which is something they do not like to hear us say, in the same America that they say is so racist, and that there's something on the 13th floor or some white supremacy dust that's here that's going to hold us back. I didn't do that. I not only became a successful business owner, but I received all my civil rights, including my Second Amendment rights. So I'm someone that once used to combat and not want to accept that I'm an anomaly or an exception to the rule. But now I understand that I am, because I changed the way that I think. I'm not like the collective. I have my own values. I stopped living my life for myself, being selfish, and started living my life for other people. And I only encourage other people that if you're listening, you could do the same thing. If you work hard and you stay consistent and you put God first, a lot of things, a lot of doors can open up for you. And it did it for me. And it's just frustrating now when I see so many people have adopted this victim mentality, when here I am coming, I'm all the statistics. I'm black. I'm a felon. I come from those communities that everybody's so romantically in love talking about. I've committed crimes. I've done times. I mean, what other checkbox do I need to check? But here I am now telling you that dirt ain't nothing holds you back. You can do whatever you put your mind to if you put God first and you work hard at it.
Craig, you're 1,000% right. I wish I had a mic to drop. I'll drop the mic. Matter of fact, I'll throw the mic on the ground. That's how much you have, just told the truth, man. I mean, it's very simple. You and I both are successful young black men who did not fall for the lies. And we didn't always start this way. You know, similar to you, I didn't go to prison. I could have been in prison. I escaped it. I used to have gold teeth in my mouth. I got Young Savage tattooed across my stomach. Yeah. You know, I was in the business of trying to be a little thug, running around thinking I'm cool, listening to rap music, being destructive, like the culture you talk about, the destructive culture. And I did all of those things. I used to believe I was a Democrat. Nobody could tell me anything different. Republicans are racist white people. And then I started opening my eyes once I got into a new environment. I left the hood, left the community that I grew up in, and I was exposed to something different. And I allowed that different exposure and that new experience to dictate how I believed in things. You know, I didn't have to be one way. I could be cool with white people and black people alike. I could serve the country as a police officer and be the difference that I wanted to see. So I'm glad you said those things, man. Let's talk a little bit about the destructive culture, because you had mentioned the destructive culture. I'm a proponent of saying there's no such thing as black culture. It's bad culture that a lot of black people are adopting. Talk to us about this cultural dynamic that you know so good, so well.
Well, I mean, if we talk about the black community, there's good things about their culture. But there's also very destructive things that we have adopted in this country. And it's one of them is something that I constantly talk about. I refer to the music as suicidal poetry on a good beat. It's glorifying and degrading. It glorifies the lowest common denominator of our community through degrading our women, drugs, violence, gangs, stop snitching campaigns, which makes it socially acceptable not to work with law enforcement to clean up and get the bad out of our communities. Right. So these are the things that we have adopted that need to change. So, you know, when I hear bad events like this, someone 18 that's white that does it, I get confused, because I know 18-year-old boys that do commit same vicious acts for what they believe in. I know the listeners can't see what I'm doing now, but they throw up their fingers and do them signs to represent the blocks that they're from, to represent the drill music, the drill rap. Of them rapping about killing someone's cousin or family member. These are destructive. These are things that are not good for our society as a whole, for anybody. And I think it really has influenced generations to come in accepting these behaviors. that we know are not good behaviors. It makes people not respect law enforcement when they come into contact with authority. They tend to take on the wrong actions that can really set them up to have other bad outcomes. I mean, we can go down the list, man. So it's when you talk about destructive culture, it's something that hits home hard for me. I think that I am qualified to talk about it as I am a black man that has gotten in trouble.
And so. I believe that you are, Craig. I want you to come back. The listeners need to hear from you. Hold the phone. You're listening to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm Brandon Tatum. I'll be back in a second.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
I'm living for the love each and every day. Oh.
Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Call in if you want to get in on this discussion. Me and Craig Long going off the chain. Craig Long, he's a gym owner, conservative, black man, powerhouse on YouTube. And I have him on the show. But before I bring him back in, I want to make a couple statements here. Because we have some news, and I, correct me if I'm mistaken. I'm talking to my people in my ear. Pennsylvania GOP, I don't think they've been able to pick anybody. It was between Dr. Oz and McCormick. And McCormick, oh, looks like they're going to have a recount. That is interesting. You know, I thought Kathy would, I think her name is Kathy. I thought that she would be a little more competitive, but it looks like she did a good run. But McCormick and Dr. Oz are going to be the two candidates. They're probably going to do a recount. It is going to be interesting to see who wins in that election. I've heard a lot of negative things about Dr. Oz, but I can't prove that to be true. I just hope the Democrats don't get in there, and I hope they don't put no rhino in there. As long as you accomplish that, you're good to go with Brandon Tatum. I want to get one caller in. Caller, I know you're listening. Please just do it. 30 seconds. I want to give you a chance to speak. I got to get my guest on. We got a lot to talk about. So I want to go to Pamela from Greensville. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you. I'm embarrassed to say what I'm about to say, but I've never heard of you before. But I've been on hold for 45 minutes because I'm loving your show. I also wanted to say thank you for saying what nobody else will say, that Joe Biden did not win that election. It just makes me sick. It wasn't Hunter Biden's story being hidden that kept him or that put him in office. It was the extra ballots they added. So anyway, thank you for what you're doing. You're doing an awesome job. And I wish I could say I'm a longtime listener, but hey, it is what it is.
Pamela, thank you so much. Thank you for the call. That just made my day. That just made my day. That was really excellent. I'm glad she hung on there. She was in there for like 40 minutes. Maybe that means I'm doing something right. They did steal the election, in my opinion. Ain't no way in the world Slow-Mo Joe, Creepy Joe, Geriatric Joe won the election. That old man can't even read off a teleprompter, let alone run the country and be the president of the United States of America. It's out of control. Craig Long. Craig is back. Craig, I got so much I want to talk to you about. We got a little bit of time left, but I want to speak a little bit about black leaders. We got about 3 minutes about black leaders. Do you believe, Craig, that the black leaders are more of a problem, or do you believe that white supremacy is the pervasive problem facing black people in America?
100% we have a problem with black leadership. I've said something that's controversial before. I said, we don't have a race problem. We have a problem race that has poor leadership and destructive culture. Right now, the people that claim to be the gatekeepers or the talking heads for the black community are doing us a disservice. They don't condemn any of the poor behaviors or come up with other solutions on how people could behave or react in certain situations, hence like coming into contact with law enforcement in certain cases. When it comes to leadership, we are failing. We don't have the right leadership. We have leadership like Larry Elder. We have leadership like yourself, Candace Owens. But we know that they reject that leadership. They disown it. And it's funny to me that they always say we need to uplift the black voice and uplift. But when it comes to someone that has an opposing viewpoint, from a leadership standpoint. They don't want to hear that. They condemn it. They brush it off to the side, and they tune themselves out. And I think that that's sad. The leadership is definitely failing us in this country when it comes to black and brown people, man. They are invested in – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, Craig, we got about 2 minutes, or probably less than that, about a minute and a half. I just want to ask you a very simple question. Do you believe, because you've had interaction with police officers, do you believe that racism on the police department is pervasive? Is it a systemic racist organization, or do you think it's a myth?
I think it's a myth. Other people that probably are racist, sure. But them to say that they are specifically geared to go out and just lock black and, like LeBron James says, we're so scared to go outside the house because the police are coming to just hunt us down. That's so much of a myth. It's so much of a lie. This is coming from somebody that is an ex-con that once was out there committing degenerate acts. I always knew that the police were doing their job. The police were being called because we're out there committing crime. And it baffles me that nobody wants to take responsibility in that, man.
100%, Craig. I want you to come back for the next segment. We're going to talk about policing. We're going to talk about whether or not police officers are racist and all of these shootings that have gone on. I want to discuss them with you. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Hold the phone.
Brandon Tatum. The left ain't seen nothing yet. Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to Brandon Tatum on The Officer Tatum Show. I'm so blessed and proud to be here, replacing Larry Elder on the radio, the airwaves. And I hope that you guys are enjoying listening to me. Obviously, I'm not perfect, but God has his hand on me. And I told him, God, if you give me an opportunity, I'm going to take advantage of it to the best of my ability. I'm going to glorify you every chance I get. So I'm hoping that the people that are watching understand that you're listening to a man who believes in God, who loves God, who honors God in every single thing that I do. Ain't nobody going to stop me from talking about Jesus. And if somehow I stop talking about Jesus on the airways, I want y'all to call in and tell him to fire me. Because I'm not living up to what God has called me to do. Call in 844-900-7243. I want to give an announcement real quick, and then I'm going to get my guest Craig Long back on with me so we can continue to talk about these things that are incredibly crucial to the black community. By the way, Mike Lindell and MyPillow are having a buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow products. Right now, get a buy one, get one free pricing, or get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Special page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Tatum or call 1-800-858-0263. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to get one buy one, get one free on select items. You will also get my book, but you're going to get Mike Lindell's book with any one of your purchases. Don't forget to call 800-858-0263 or put in promo code on MyPillow.com's listeners page. Put promo code Tatum in there, and you're going to be good to go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get back into this. I want to continue the conversation with my guest, Craig Long, YouTube sensation, also a conservative black man who is a fighter. I'll tell you what, if I go down in the trenches and we got to be back-to-back fighting against these devil Democrats out here, the man that I want with me is Craig Long, because I know that he got my back, I got his back. But let's continue to talk about some of the issues that I mentioned in the black community. I'll get a caller in. If you guys call in, I'll try to get a caller in if you have a question for myself or Craig. But Craig, you know, going to the destructive culture, listening to rap music, and how it's degrading us, the poor leadership in the black community. Let's talk a little bit about the involvement of the church in the black community. I personally believe that black pastors should step their game up and do more to fight against this rhetoric of racism, to fight against this poor man's mentality. When I say poor man's mentality, people believing that there's some privilege in whiteness that's greater than the privilege of Jesus Christ. I believe in Christ's privilege, not white privilege. But talk to us a little bit, Craig, about the role that you see the church playing in spirituality that seems to be dying in the black community.
Well, really good question. I think that some of our pastors and preachers, which I think that there is a difference there, are definitely failing communities in America, across America. It's funny that some of these pastors in some of these communities, and I'll let the listeners come up with the answer in their own head, they hold on to anger, hatred, and resentment because of the skin tone that they have, right? Whether they be black or Hispanic, they hold on to anger, hatred, and resentment. But if you're a Christian, and again, if you're not a Christian, I'm not talking to you. I don't want to cast my pearls among swine. But I always like to let people know that, you know, I'm not a pastor or a preacher or a theologian of the Bible, or a historian of the Bible, and that's apparent. But how are you from the pulpit holding on to anger, hatred, and resentment, right? Knowing as a Christian, God is a forgiving God. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is a forgiving God. If you're a Christian, you should have forgiveness in your heart. So regardless of the country that you live in and the tone of your skin, you shouldn't be holding on to anger, hatred, and resentment. And I think that that's where the church has failed us as a community, and still from the pulpit aligning with a lot of the rhetoric that we see in the national news, or what we see without this country in certain communities, man. So when it comes to the churches and the pastors, I think that that's where we're dropping the ball. Them still holding on to the anger and hatred.
Craig, you hit the nail on the head, man. You couldn't have been more spot on. The biggest thing that I see, and it bothers me every time I hear it, is the white man. Look at what they did to us. The white man, white privilege, white supremacy. It's like, wait. Oh, slavery. You know, this is what, look what they did to us in slavery. It's like, where is the forgiveness? You claim to be a Christian. You want God to forgive you. You have to be forgiving of other people. You don't have to forget. But my God, if everything that's occurring in your life has to do with what people done did in the past that you didn't even know, and they didn't even know you, how are you living for Christ when you can't even forgive what happened during slavery? I will not ever understand the mantra of hatred towards white people that I see from the pulpit at times. And also the feckless faith that I see when people, when COVID comes out, you know, now they want to shut their church down and they didn't forgot to believe in God. Before that, they were laying hands on people and talking about shout about a Honda Accord in a Civic. And they doing all that stuff, but then they forget that you're supposed to be believing in a God that can heal. I want to bring in a caller real quick because I believe that this caller can add value to the conversation. Caller, just remember, we don't have a lot of time. Dan, what do you got? Welcome to the Officer Tatum show.
Thank you, brothers. I love your show. You're gifted by God. Both of you men do great things and do great exploits. Say, this is an idea I've had for a long time. Our kids go to college and they're corrupted at the university. Parents and families are burdened with thousands of dollars of debt. You know what? There are so many good, godly people that in a community room could teach kids everything they know to get most any degree. And it would be volunteer. Kids could, for a fraction of the cost of university, if they could show and demonstrate they have all the expertise, all the knowledge and skill that anybody that graduates from that same degree has, they should be given a degree.
Dan, I want you to. I'm running up against a break. Dan, I run up against a break. I want you to stay tuned. I'm gonna bring you back in the next segment. Craig, I want you to stay. Come back in the next segment. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm Brandon Tatum. Hold the phone.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.